A Prisoner in Paris. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1875. Lord Lanwood yawned, and turning a little in the bed, thought it was time to go home. It was then that something moved close to him, and a voice purred, "Lionel, darling, you are the most wonderful lover anyone could possibly have." Lord Lanwood had heard it all before, and it had always made him feel rather pleased with himself. Then he said, "Now I must leave you, because I have so much to do tomorrow."
"Oh, no, Lionel, no," the Countess exclaimed.
It was a reception of what often happened on so many other occasions. His lordship responded firmly, "I am sorry, my dearest Yvette, but I really must leave you now. Otherwise I will have very little sleep, and be disagreeable the whole of tomorrow." The Countess gave a little laugh.
"Oh, but you are never disagreeable. That is the most marvellous thing about you, Lionel. You always say such nice things, and are sweet and kind to everyone."
It was the sort of compliment his lordship liked to hear, especially from someone as beautiful as the Countess of Helston. She was, undoubtedly, the most ravishing, the most admired, and the most sought-after hostess in the whole of London. She had been married when she was very young, in fact 18, to the Earl of Helston. She had grown, everyone said, lovelier and lovelier until now, when she was approaching 30. She was of such high standing in the social world that it was really surprising that there was not already a statue erected to her. A great number of men had attempted to entice her into being unfaithful to her husband, but she had refused them all, until she saw Lord Lanwood, and she had known then that he was the man she had been looking for her whole life. When she saw the rapt expression in his eyes, she knew that he was feeling the same about her. Yet now, after a night of inexpressible bliss, he was about to leave her. She reached out one of her arms to put it round his neck, but she was too late. He had already raised himself from the bed and was walking across the room to where he had left his clothes near the fireplace.
"When shall I see you again?" she asked in a small, seductive voice.
"Just as soon as you are free, and I can come here, as I did tonight, unobserved. Well, or at least I hope so."
"Oh, you are quite safe," the Countess replied. "Rory is on his way to Scotland, and he will not be back for at least a week."
"Then I will dine with you tomorrow night, at the same time, and will be counting the hours until I see you again."
"Oh, that is what I was hoping you would say, Lionel," the Countess answered, "and I, too, will be counting the hours."
There was an oil lamp on the table by the fireplace, and she could see that he was now buttoning his shirt and reaching out for his tie.
"There was never a more handsome man," she told herself.
She knew, because they were both so outstandingly attractive, that they must have been meant for each other since the beginning of time.
"If only I had met him before I married," she mused to herself. "How amazingly wonderful it would have been, and everyone we would meet would admire us together, as they now do separately."
Lord Lanwood tied his tie, looking as he did so at his reflection in the gold-framed mirror that hung over the fireplace. As he shrugged himself into his evening coat, he turned towards the bed, and as he walked towards the Countess, he said,
"You are so glorious, Yvette, that I am sure you are not real, and this is just a dream."
"Then we will dream together tomorrow evening," she replied. "Oh, Lionel, I am just so happy to have found you."
"That is exactly what I was saying to myself,"
Lord Lanwood told her.
"Good night, my dearest darling, and I am counting the hours until tomorrow night."
"And I will be counting them too."
She reached out her arms, but he knew that if he let her put them round his neck, she would pull him down onto the bed, and he would begin kissing her all over again.
"I have to go," he sighed. So good.